Father, we rejoice that You live within us. We rejoice over the excitement and the expectancy that I sense in the air tonight. And Lord, I pray as we study about the law of command, as we learn how to use it, there will not be one man, not one woman, not one young person to leave here that does not understand how to command the blessings of God into their life. That they'll see it, that it works for the everyday life, on the job, in the factory, in the home. They'll know how to have the blessings of God commanded into their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's take a quick review. We are talking about the law of command. The word command means to give an order to direct with authority, to have authority or jurisdiction over, to control or overlook from a high position. In other words, have you ever heard, like in these war stories, you know, they said, man, we got to set up a command post on this hill. Why? They want to overlook the enemy's camp, and maybe they can set up, you know, particular artillery or mortar that can just be lobbed down into the enemy's camp. When you understand how to walk in the law of command, praise God, you have a strategic position over the enemy. Now, we made quite clear this morning, we're not talking about commanding God, but rather we are talking about commanding God's known will into the situation. You see the difference in that? You know what God's will is, and you can command His will to be done into the situation. All right, let's look at this passage, Matthew chapter 16. And let's look at verse 19. Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the what? Everybody say it, the what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind. You underline that little word in your Bible, if you underline. The word thou. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Jesus has given us power. Jesus has given us keys. Keys are good to lock things and to unlock things. And the particular doors that we're locking and unlocking, praise God, are the gates of hell. Look what it says in verse 18. He says, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about the revelation of Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he runs right into verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys. Man, we have the keys of heaven that fit any door, any situation in your life, anything that's locked out. You know, a lot of people have the blessings of God locked out. Just like Brother Charles was saying, boy, glory to God, getting fireball for Jesus. Up there putting out sparks. Did it rub off on you? If you felt bad, boy, you better not anymore. You got the glory of God shining out of him. But you know, as I listen to him, there's a lot of people that have that joy that he was talking about. It's locked out of their lives. The blessings of God locked out. They're in a prison. We've got the keys, praise the Lord. The power to bind and to loose. All right, we covered quite a number of scriptures on scriptural basis for the law of command. We not only looked at Matthew 16, 19, we looked at Matthew 18, 18 and 19, and then Job 22, verse 28. Then, the second main point that we covered this morning, the means of application for the law of command. What primarily was the means of application? Can somebody tell me? Speaking it. Praise God. We've got one. Amen. The rest of you are going to come on in tonight. I believe it. The means of application for the law of command, speaking it. Let's look at our passage in Ezekiel 37. We'll not take long on it, but let's turn there together. Ezekiel 37. And we saw the principle there of speaking, of commanding, or what Ezekiel calls it, prophesying. Prophesying God's known will into the situation. Some of y'all have valleys of dry bones in your finances. Some of you have the valley of dry bones in a loved one's life that doesn't know Jesus. Some of you may be feeling like you're in a valley of dry bones. Got news to you, for you. The wind of God will move in that situation. Verse 1, Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And I believe that's really the question God's asking y'all tonight. Can your bones live? Can your finances revive? Can your loved ones stand up? Can your job opportunity open up? Or is it always just going to be bleached out? No good. Look what he says, verse 4. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Now that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to teach you how to command, to prophesy the blessings of God into your life. It's going to be fun. And you're going to leave here, and there's not going to be one of you that if you'll listen, and you young people included, if you'll listen and you'll get hold of this key, when you leave here, you'll know how to get the blessings of God in your life in a practical way. A very practical way. So he says here in verse 4, he said, prophesy unto these bones. Speak unto them, in other words. That's the means of application. You've got to speak God's known will into the situation. And look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. When you begin to command God's will into the situation, when you begin to prophesy the blessings of God into your life and in your situation, there's going to be some noise. And there's going to be some coming together. Then the third main point we looked at this morning, using the law of command. And quickly, let's read over those. The first point I gave you on how to use this law of command to identify and write out your desire. To identify and write out your desire, make sure that you can say with confidence that it is God's will. That's so important. Because you know what? If inside of yourself, your mind, you're saying, well, I hope this is God's will, I'm not sure this is God's will. You know what? You're going to lack that authority. You're going to lack that commanding. Because inside you're wavering. You've got a double mind. But when you know, you can dig your heels in and stand your ground. Number two, on using the law of command, mentally visualize and see your desire as though it were already accomplished. So you know it's God's will. In your mind, you see the thing you're desiring as though it were already accomplished. That's important. And number three, speak commands and affirmations out loud for your desire to manifest. Just like Ezekiel had to. He had to speak it out loud. He had to speak with authority to it for it to manifest. Say them with faith, feeling, and God's Word. Now, let's turn together to John 15 and get into some new material before we actually have our workshop on commanding the blessings of God into your life. That's primarily what we're going to be discussing tonight. Commanding the blessings of God into your life. How to get this thing into operation for you so that you can see some results and some changes and some produce in your life. Praise God. John 15, and let's look at verse 7 and 8. Now, I just read you the three main principles for using the law of command. The last one was to speak your commands and affirmations out loud for your desire to manifest, to say them with faith, feeling, and what? Faith, feeling, and what? And what? Everybody say God's Word.
God's Word.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Everybody say and God's Word.
And God's Word.
You say it with faith, feeling, and what?
God's Word.
All right, you're with me. Now, I want to emphasize to you, before we get into this thing, the immense importance of, as you are speaking these commands and blessings into your life, including God's Word. I mean, your commands, your prophesying, your speaking with authority will have power to the extent that you include God's Word. Because God's Word is His will. Would you agree with me on that? So if you're speaking God's Word, you're speaking His will. You know you're on target. Look at John 15, verse 7 and 8. He's talking about prayer here. If you abide in me, and my what?
Word.
Everybody say it.
Word.
My words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So here he's saying, when you begin to speak, when you begin to ask, When you begin to command, when you begin to demand and prophesy, not of God, but of that situation, to right itself with God's will, you put the Word into it. He said, for if you abide in me, that's not just good enough. It's not just good enough to be walking with the Lord. You need to let His Word come into the situation. And look what will happen. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Everybody say much fruit.
Much fruit.
Everybody say much fruit.
Much fruit.
You know what He's talking about is He wants you to have much success, much results. He wants you to have much produce as a result of your praying with God's Word included in it. With God's Word included in it. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's follow up on this idea. This is so important. This is kind of a detailed examination of that point number 3. Speak your commands and affirmations out loud for your desire to manifest. Say them with faith, feeling, and what? God's Word. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verse... Let's begin with verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Now, we usually stop right there. And if your Bible is like mine, it may even have a little editor's notation between verse 17 and 18. Kind of splits it up. But you know what? Really, you shouldn't split it up. You take God's Word and then you turn right around in verse 18, praying always. Do you see what I'm saying? You are praying the Word. You are speaking the Word. This will revolutionize your prayer life if you'll get hold of what I'm saying. I mean, for so long I just tried to pray, kind of make up my own prayers, until I learned how to take God's known, revealed will and pray His Word to the situation. Command His Word to the situation. Speak His Word to the situation. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always. With what? The Word. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Did you know the Holy Spirit and the Word always work together? Do you remember Ezekiel? What did he first do? He spoke what? The Word that God told him into the situation. Then what happened after they stood up? The wind moved. The Word and the wind. The Word and the wind. Look what he's saying here, verse 17 and 18. He says, the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So there's the Word and the wind. The Word and the wind working together. Isn't that interesting? And that will cause the blessings of God to flow in your life. Now, don't miss this. We're going to look at 3 Bible examples of men who prayed this way, who could command this way, and they saw tremendous results. We'll start with number 1, Jesus Himself. Jesus' own example. Now, I want you to find 2 places in the Bible at the same time and hold them with your finger. Psalm 16. First, find Psalm 16. I'll tell you the verse in a minute, but just find Psalm 16. Then after you put your finger there, go to Acts 2. So you find Psalm 16, and I'm going to show you something that really the Lord just showed me, several months ago. I'd never saw this, but oh, how exciting it is once I saw it. Psalm 16, and then Acts chapter what? All right, you need both of those at the same time. All right, Psalm 16, and let's look beginning with verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, you know, this is David writing this. Some of your little notations may say above, this probably above verse 5, concerning the Messiah. It'll say something about the Messiah. All right, look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now don't lose that place. Now go with me to Acts 2. And let's begin with verse 22. He says, "You men of Israel," this is Peter speaking, "you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth," we're in verse 22, "a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know," verse 23, "him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain." Verse 24, "whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now don't miss verse 25. "For David speaketh concerning him." Now when it says, "for David speaketh concerning him," you should have quotation marks, really, around the following thing, because it's a quote from Psalm 16 that we just read. Here's what David speaketh concerning Jesus. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face." Now, do you see what he's saying? He's saying that when Jesus was being crucified, when Jesus was getting ready to be snatched by the devil down into hell, guess what Jesus was standing on? Guess what Jesus was speaking? Guess what Jesus was commanding into the situation? He was standing and commanding Psalm 16. Do you see that? He was praying according to Psalm 16. It plainly says, verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him." Who's that? Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. "I foresaw the Lord," talking about the Father, "always before my face, for he is on my right hand." Remember, Jesus was set down at the right hand of the Father, "that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." That's what Jesus was commanding into his situation. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One," that's Jesus, "to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." End of quote. Verse 29. "Men and brethren," this is Peter again, "let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne," verse 31, "he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Now you see what I'm saying? Jesus was praying Psalm 16. Jesus, you wonder, what was he doing on the cross besides the seven things that he said? He was meditating on Psalm 16 as he walked into the corridors of hell and all the demons jumping around saying, "We've got him! We've got him! We've got big shot, Son of God! We got you now!" Jesus was meditating on Psalm 16, glory to God. He was trusting in that thing, and when the time came, he kicked open the gates of hell. He snatched the keys and he set the prisoners free. Why? Because he knew how to command the life of God into the situation from the Word. Now that's what we're talking about will change your life. Let's look at another example. Moses. Go to Exodus 32. You can drop those other two passages. Your fingers will be all twisted up if you try to hold those things. Let's go to Exodus 32. And let's look at Moses. Are you catching this? Are you catching this idea of the law of command coupled with God's Word, which is His revealed will? Exodus 32, and let's begin with verse 11. You remember, God was mad with the people. They missed out on the waiting phase. See, verse 1 says, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, they made a god." What they said was a god. Some of y'all, you think God's delaying? Don't give up. That's a whole other message right there. Don't fall out in the waiting phase just because you think Jesus is delaying to come down from the mountain. He's not. He's on His way. Your due season is on the way. But you know that God got mad at him. Verse 11, "But if it wasn't for Moses, man, they would have been fried. French fried Israelis. That's what would have happened." All right, look at verse 11. We laugh about that, you know. Sometimes if it wasn't for the grace of God, it'd be French fried Jason. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Now let's get the picture. God's up there and he says, I'm mad. Boy, lightning bolts flying. I'm mad. Let me at him. Let me at him, Moses. Moses is saying, no, God, I know they've messed up. They've made a terrible mistake. God is interceding. He's standing between them. God says, move out of the way. Move out of the way. Makes Star Wars look like Mickey Mouse. Man, God was just, he was ready to cut loose on them. Moses said, now wait, God. If you destroy them, you know what the Egyptians will say? They'll say, man, that's a mean God. He delivers people just to take them in the wilderness to eat them alive, just to wipe them out. You wouldn't want that said of you now, would you, God? But you know what really brought the authority in his prayer? He stood on, can you guess? The Word. He commanded the Word. He spoke the Word into the situation. And it plainly says God changed his mind. Nothing wrong with God changing his mind. Somebody said, oh, if God's perfect, why would he change his mind? That doesn't mean he's imperfect. I change my mind every day about some things. That doesn't mean I messed up. I just change my mind. Give God some freedom to change his mind. Verse 13. Remember, look what Moses begins to pray. He says, Jehovah, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, quote, he's quoting the Word out of Genesis. I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. You see, God had spoke this. I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. End of quote. So Moses is he's commanding, he's speaking that word unto the Father. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. You see that? Do you see the power of God's own word? I mean, God honors his own word. All right, let's look at another example. Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah 1. Book of Restoration. Wonderful book. In fact, I understand you all have been studying that some. Is that right? Yes. Praise God. Nehemiah 1. And we'll begin with verse 8 and 9. And I'm sure by now you understand the whole background here. Nehemiah has been raised up of God to go back and rebuild the walls. Verse 8, he's praying. And look what he does in the middle of his prayer. He begins to pray with authority. Can you guess? With the what?
The Word.
The Word. Verse 8. He says, remember, I beseech thee, the Word. Verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the Word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, quote, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, and that's what Nehemiah was seeking to do, was to bring a turning. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. End of quote. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear, blah, 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 be attentive. In other words, give us favor that we may go back and do the thing that you said. But my point is, here's Jesus. Jesus is standing on Psalm 16. Here's Moses. He's standing on the promises unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here's Nehemiah standing on the Word. Do you see the whole emphasis, the importance of God's Word in this idea of commanding to your situations God's known will? Now, I want to give you my prescription. You know what a prescription is, don't you? That's something that's going to cure what you have. It'll cure anything that you may have. And I'm not kidding in that. If you'll get hold of this, it will cure, it will heal whatever may be confronting your life. Here's my prescription for commanding God's blessings into your life. You pray. Now, you write this down. If you're not taking notes, you write this down somewhere. If you haven't been taking notes so far, You write this down, because this is what we're going to do in just a moment. And if you don't have it written down, you're going to be saying, "What are we doing, Brother Peebles?" And don't come up to me after we start and say, "Brother Peebles, I don't understand what we're doing." Well, come on up. I'll help you out. I'll have mercy on you. But I'd rather you catch it now. Amen. My prescription is that you pray every day for 30 days. You pray every day for 30 days. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. You write that down. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And coupled with that, after you finish praying that passage, you flip over and pray Galatians 3, 13 and 14. This is my prescription for you to command God's blessings into your life. Now, of course, you can pray many parts of the Word of God. There's many of them. But if you'll pray these passages once a day for 30 days, you'll never, ever, ever be the same. You will have a mentality that is so charged up with the blessings of God. Glory, glory. You walk into your office and they'll say, "What's wrong with you?" Zappa! How do you feel today? Glory! Well, what are you so excited about? "I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Blessed in the house. Blessed in the storehouse." Huh? You pray every day for 30 days. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Now together, let's find those two passages. You need to find them both. Hold your finger in them. And let me just go through that with you. I'm quite sure you've had teaching on that before. But we'll just take a quick review in case it may have slipped. You know, Peter said we need to take heed lest we let some things slip. It's easy to let some things slip sometimes in your life. Constantly need reviewing. You find Deuteronomy 28, then you find Galatians. That's right after Malachi. Huh? Those of you that weren't here this morning, you're saying, "Glory." Wonder what Bible school he went to. All right. Deuteronomy 28. Now, do you understand that if we obey God, if we serve God, if we perfectly, without missing one dot or iota, we can have all His blessings? Isn't that exciting? But who can do that? Not me. And not you. Praise God for Jesus. Because Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law for us, and we are in Him. Therefore, guess what we qualify for? The blessings of God. Now, we've been all leading up to this. We've been talking about the law of command, commanding God's known will, and the primary thing we're building to is for you to learn how to command God's blessings. How many of you want God's blessings? I just get a little stingy when it comes to His blessings. Hallelujah. I want them. Don't you want them? All right, let's look at the blessings. Verse 1. Says that it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God's going to do something. If you're walking with God and you're standing in Jesus, because you see, you can't perfectly keep all the commandments, but you do your best. I mean, you do your part to fulfill it as much as you can, and where you miss it, we have an advocate. So we qualify. And if we walk that way, what 1 John called walking in the light. And if any darkness be found in us, we just bring it into the light and confess it honestly and sincerely, and He cleanses us. So we're still in the light, you see. I mean, you're still in the light. Even though you may sin, you've brought it, you're still in the light. It's only when you deny it when you're in the darkness. But you're still in the light if you'll take care of it and keep yourself cleansed daily. Something's going to happen. Something is promised to happen to you. Look at this. Verse 1. that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. How many of you would like to know when you walk out your door every day, you've got more power than the nations of the earth? You've got more power than those missiles. You've got more power than those atomic weapons. You've got more power than an M16 rifle. He's going to set you on high, above all the nations. Verse 2. And all these what?
Blessings.
Everybody say that word.
Blessings.
All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he starts to enumerate the blessings. Now, if you don't get hold of this, you just goofed up. If you don't get hold of this, you just messed up on your own. Because I'm going to show you the blessings. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. I claim that. I'm blessed in Atlanta, Georgia, the city. And I'm blessed in Swainsboro, Georgia. I'm blessed in Hardeeville, South Carolina. I'm blessed wherever. Well, who do you think you are? I'm in Jesus Christ. And the blessings are coming on me. Somebody says, oh, those preachers just after money. No, that's after me. Hallelujah! Huh? Somebody said, oh, you just always after healing. No, it's after me. I'm just walking along, here it comes. What's that following me? That's the blessings coming on me. Start running down the highway of life. Hallelujah. The path of life. It's coming on me. Just like a wave. Glory! It breaks right on. It's coming on me and shall what? Overtake me. All right. Look at verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Did you know God wants your body to be blessed? Not only your children, but I believe that fruit of your body could refer to the hormones and the intricate balance and chemistry within your body. The fruit, what your body produces inside itself, is to be blessed. And then it says, not only that, but the fruit of thy ground.
Say, well, I don't have a garden. You're missing the whole point, honey. You have some place that you labor, don't you? That's your ground. Your job's your ground. Where you work, where you toil and labor.
Amen.
Your school, your home, wherever it is that God's called you to work, that's your ground. And it's to be blessed.
And then it says, and the increase of thy kind, I don't have any sheep. I don't like them. The people that you are around, the flock that the pastors have oversight of, that's their sheep, that's their flock. The people in my ministry I minister to, that's you and others, that's my sheep. You've got sheep. If you have children, those are your sheep. Those are under your care and you're taking it to be blessed. Your friends, those are your sheep. Sheep friends. Walk up to somebody and say, you're a good looking sheep. Don't call them a goat now. Alright, verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
I don't have a basket. Have you ever heard of a checking account? And thy store. You ever heard of a savings account? What's a savings? That's where you store it up. I mean, think about it. You know, back in the old days, they didn't have the exchange necessarily of the money. It was they just brought from the fruit of the earth and that was as good as money. But in our society, we have this exchange. Your money is really the equivalent of what the grain would have been. Your basket is supposed to be... I don't even have a checking account. Can't afford one. Well, start standing on that blessing right there and God will give you a basket. And once He blesses that, the overflow can go into the storehouse. He'll bless it. Do y'all believe this or do you think I'm just whistling in the wind? I believe it. It's the Word. Verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I mean, everywhere you're going, you're going to be blessed. When I go out to minister, I'm blessed. When I come home to minister, I'm blessed. You know, a lot of people,
And my dad tells me this because he grew up in a small town and then, you know, he moved to Atlanta. And there's a real tendency to feel like a big city is intimidating. Oh, I don't know how they live here, you know. And I'm not saying you have to like a city, but what I'm saying is you don't have to let the devil put fear on you in any area. You can be blessed in the big city. You can be blessed in where there's no town. You see what I'm saying? All right, look at verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. I mean, when situations confront you in life, and basically those situations are saying, I'm going to defeat you. That's an enemy. And we have spiritual enemies too. But you know what it says? They might come out against us one way, they'll flee before seven. Man, they've been coming out against me seven ways. Well, then they'll flee 49 ways. Blessings. Blessings. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing. Glory to God. Wouldn't you like just to know in the morning when you wake up, God says, Jason? Yes, sir. I'm commanding the blessings on you today. You are? Yes, sir. I'm commanding the blessings on you today. You can expect them to come on you and overtake you. You receive it? I receive it, Father. Wouldn't you like to walk out the door with that kind of confidence? Instead of walking out like this, oh dear God, it's Monday. Preacher kept us too long last night. I feel a little tired. You walk out with a little pep and zip in your step. Glory to God, you just walk out there and you know you're somebody. Because you're in Jesus. You know that you have blessings. This is a day of blessing. This is a day of miracles. Good things are coming my way. Could this be it? Could that be it? I'm on my tiptoes just watching for those blessings. Instead of, you know, well, I wonder what's going to happen today at the office, at the factory. Might get demoted. Hope they don't lay me off today. Number 8. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. He wants... Do you notice he mentions storehouses more than once? God wants you to have a storehouse. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm against a stingy spirit. Somebody says, I'm just believing God for my own needs. Just my own needs. I just couldn't believe for much more than my own needs. That's so selfish, believing God for your own needs. You can't help anybody else if you just got your own needs met. Do you see that? That sounds real holy. I've heard people say, well, I'm just believing God for my own needs. How are you going to give to anybody? How are you going to bless anybody? God doesn't want just your little old stinking needs to be met. Huh? God wants you to have enough sufficiency for all things so that you may abound to every good work. If everybody in here was just believing for their own needs, you wouldn't have a PA system. If everybody in here was just believing for their own needs, you wouldn't even have a building. So just get out of that kind of thinking. I don't know who I was speaking to there. Don't be mad at me now. Don't be mad at me. You need to check your life. Check your life. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. You ever heard of the golden touch? What they used to call that? The Midas touch? Is that what it is? I got the Midas touch in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thing I touch turns to gold. Blessing. 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 Everything I touch. Oh, this plant. Well, don't die on me now. Blessing. Blessing. Hallelujah. I hope those things are here when I come back. All right. Look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself. Whose responsibility is that? That's the Lord's. Quit walking around so introverted inside. Oh, I got it. Oh, I hope I can obey God in this. Oh, become outward. Become looking outward and concerned about other people's needs and blessings. And you know what? All that crud will just fall off. But if you're always in there looking at, looking at yourself like that, you're no good for anybody. But if you say, I can't overcome this in my own power, I just roll it off on the Lord. I'm going to see who I can bless today. That just will take care of itself. It says, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. Would you like to walk into an office and people say and whisper, she's called by the name of the Lord? I mean, we know her. Don't tell those jokes around her. Don't tell those jokes around him. I mean, when you walk in, people just sense and know they have an awesome fear of you. An awesome fear and respect of you. Look what it says. It says, "And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee." You don't be afraid of them, they be afraid of you. I claim that everywhere I go. I claim that when I walk into a town or into a situation, I say, "Father, I thank you that these people know and recognize that I am called by the name of the Lord." They see and they respect and they have a holy fear of the call on me. There's nothing wrong with that. That's divine favor. It says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Aren't we to be like Jesus? Hallelujah. Glad y'all answered that one right. All right, verse 11. "And the Lord shall make thee stingy in goods." Is that what yours says? You got a wrong Bible, honey. "The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods." Plenteous. Everybody say plenteous in goods.
Plenteous in goods.
Say it again.
Plenteous in goods.
Did that just kind of send some little willy things all over you? That doesn't sound good. Plenteous in goods. You need to say it enough. Plenteous in goods. I'm plenteous in goods. I don't just have one refrigerator. I've got two. What would you need two for? So you give one away. Huh? Praise God. "The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods." You got to have it to give it. "In the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land." Did you know God wants to give you some land? Some of y'all may be wondering, I wonder if I could ever buy some land and put a house on it. There's your promise right there. The Lord will give you land. Well, doesn't it say the meek shall inherit the earth? It's ours. We're going to inherit it. When Jesus comes back, we might as well get used to feeling like kings right now. We are kings and priests unto Him, glory. Verse 12, "The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season." Now for a farmer, he needs that. You can stand on that verse right there. For you, you may need other types of rain and blessings. Open doors, divine coincidences, just the right break, just the right person that comes your way. "And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Wouldn't you like to just have enough? Somebody comes along and said, "I need some money," and 50 bucks, 100 bucks is just nothing to you. You don't miss it. Huh? Don't look at me like... Hallelujah! Y'all got to have faith for these verses now. Verse 13. "The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail." You know some people, have you ever seen an old dog with a tail tucked under a drink? Little dog, come here doggy. You ever seen one of those dogs? You know, there's a lot of people that in the spirit man, inside, they're like that. God doesn't want you to be like that. God wants you to be able to just walk strong in Him. Be the head and not the tail. It says, "The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe them and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the what?" The what? That's what we're talking about. Praying and commanding the words, which I command thee this day. He's commanded you, and you have the power to command them. To the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now, don't go beyond verse 14 in your praying. Because the rest of the whole chapter is curses. Unless you just want to have a lousy day, you know, go ahead and pray those. I wouldn't suggest it though. Man, did you know, look at, there's only 14 verses of the blessings. There's 60 to 68, from 15 to 68 curses. I mean, he gets in everything from the botch to the emeralds. In the curses. Everything from the mildew to the blasting. Look at verse 28. "The Lord shall smite." Now actually that should be translated, "The Lord shall allow thee to be smitten." That's what the Hebrew says. "The Lord shall allow thee to be smitten." You know who does that? The devil. "With madness and blindness." You people with emotional disorders and upset and nervous problems, that's not God's will for you. God wants you to be blessed. And on he goes. Now go to Galatians. Don't lose Deuteronomy now. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Somebody says, "Yeah, but I don't qualify. I can't keep every point just dot and iota perfect." That's why Jesus came. Look what verse 13 says. Christ hath redeemed us from the what?
Curse.
From the what?
Curse.
I mean from everything from verse 15 right on down to verse 68 that we just read. The madness and the blindness and all the diseases and everything. Christ hath redeemed us from what? The curse of the law being made a curse for us. When Jesus hung on that tree, glory to God, not only did He die for our sins, He died for our sicknesses, He died for our diseases, He died for our emotional disorders, He died for every evil curse that Satan had desired to bring upon man. Because it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Oh, glory to God for verse 14. That the what? The blessing. Everybody say it. That the what?
The blessing.
Of Abraham. What we just read, and there's more of them. That was just the best condensed passage in the Word that I found on it. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and me. Through Jesus Christ. Through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to just begin praying the blessings. Here's how I do it. I go, you turn to Deuteronomy 28 with me. Here's how I do it, and I'm not going to pray all the way through it. We just walked through it, but I'm going to show you how to get started. I sit there. I don't really sit there. When I do it, usually most every day or at least every week, I walk around when I do it. It just helps me to, you know, command it. Glory to God. Say it with faith and feeling. I walk around and I say, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Father, I thank You that I hearken unto Your voice, that I hear Your voice, that I obey Your word, that He shall command this upon me. The Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Today I am set upon high above all the nations of the earth. The Lord has set me above this ministry. The Lord has set me above my financial need. The Lord has set me above. And I just begin to personalize it that way and speak it and command it with authority. Affirm it with the Word. Then I go on down to verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Father, I thank You that the blessings are coming on me and overtaking me. Blessings! I speak to You. Come into my life. Blessings! I call You. Some of you are sitting there going, calling the blessing. Never heard of that. Yet I can get out on the street and go, Spot! Spot! Come on, boy! Just goes, oh, he's just calling a dog. You need to learn how to call your blessings. You need to learn how to, blessings! Financial blessings! I command you to come into my life right now. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city. I'm blessed in the city. And here's what I do. I walk around. See, I've got a radio ministry in Atlanta. I say, my radio ministry is blessed. I see today people sitting down and writing letters unto me today, requesting that free tape on radio today. I speak unto those letters to come unto me today. And they've told me, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on what the Word will do. They've told me in Atlanta that I have the best response. I'm only on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Most everybody else is on 5 days a week. I've got the best response of some of those guys that have been up there on the radio for 12 years. Because God's given me wisdom. I offer a free tape. I do something. I give something. People want the free tape. I send it to them free. No strings attached. And I speak to those blessings and they come unto me. Isn't that great? Isn't that great to get the Word out like that? And there I go. I'll work through there. Blessed shall be that basket in thy storehouse. Man, I lay hands on my checkbook, my operating account, and I say, you are blessed. I call money into this account. Money, you come into this account. Those people that are debating whether they should give to this ministry, in Jesus' name, let them give. Let them have favor upon our ministry. Then I go to put hands on my little savings account that I just started. It's little right now, you see. But I just say, I speak to this savings account. It's blessed. My storehouse is blessed. And I work my way right through those passages on down to verse 14. Then I flip over, go with me to Galatians, and to pray the New Testament counterpart, I say, Christ hath redeemed me. Christ hath redeemed Jason Peebles. Christ hath redeemed Martha Peebles. Christ hath redeemed the Jason Peebles Evangelistic Association. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. They don't belong to us. We reject them. See, I command those things. I bind them from my life. I don't receive them. I've been redeemed from them. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham. I thank You the blessings are coming my way. I command the blessings to come my way into my life. It's God's known will. I receive them into my life. through Jesus Christ that we, Jason Peebles, Martha Peebles, the Jason Peebles Evangelistic Association, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, do you see what I'm saying? Now, what I want us to do, you hold your two fingers right there, and I know it's going to sound, you know, kind of chaotic in here. Might sound like the first day of Pentecost. Praise God. You have to say this out loud now. I don't want any of this silent medication business. So like one of my pastor friends, he got up one morning and he said, "Let's bow for a moment of silent medication." I mean meditation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Meditation, not medication. So I don't want any silent medication in here tonight. What I want us to do, it's going to only take about 10 minutes. Not going to take long. Is I want you to sit there and I want you to pray loud enough to hear yourself. Everybody individually. Don't be saying, "My wife will do it." Oh, come on, guys. My wife can pray for us. No, you pray. Everybody take your Bible. When I say go, it's going to take somebody with faith to start us now. So I say, "You start." No, you start. Now, I don't want you to get real loud, just obnoxious, you know. But I want it to be loud enough to hear yourself. And you're going to have to concentrate. Don't let the person beside you or around you, you know, bother you. Don't let them cause you to lose your train. You begin praying down through there. When you get through verse 14, you take your time, apply it to your situation, verbalize it the way you need, and then you flip over to Galatians 3, 13 and 14 and pray it that way. Command it, speak it, affirm it into your life. All right, let's go. Faith and feeling. Faith and feeling. Say it unto the Lord. Affirm it. Command it. Loud enough to hear yourself. Okay, praise the Lord. Did you get a blessing out of that?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand for the blessing through Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, that's not so hard, is it? Isn't that something so simple? Such a simple tool. What are you doing? Like Ezekiel, you are standing over the valley of dry bones. And you are taking what we know is God's will, His Word. And you're speaking that Word. You're prophesying that Word to the situations of your life. I don't know why it works, but I just know that like the vision I described, the dream, that when we speak and release, remember Jesus Himself, He showed me, that He began to speak in the heavenlies, and when He began to speak, the wind started moving, things started arranging, power started going to and fro. And when you stand up in your life, every day for 30 days, and you begin praying and affirming and commanding those blessings, things are going to start moving. Dry bones that you've maybe prayed over in a weak type of manner for years are going to start coming together, bone to bone. They're going to stand up. Those things are going to be met in your life. I tell you, it has revolutionized my life. You walk out with a little zip and pep in your step, just like I mentioned. Now let's check ourselves. Let's look at the three principles I gave you on using the law of command. Are we on target? Number one, we said identify and write out your desire. Was it written out for you? Of course it was. You just read it. You didn't have to write that one out. Make sure that you can say with confidence that it is God's will. Now, some areas that you may need to write it out. Let's say you know that God wants you to have a new home or a new car. Now, you know, it's kind of hard to find in here. Thou shalt have a Chevrolet. It's not in here. But yet, if you can pray and get to the point where you say, I know that God wants me to have a family car. We need a family car. It's a need. Something we need to have. Then you write that out. Make sure that you can say with confidence that it is God's will. Could all of you, as we prayed through Deuteronomy 28, could you say with confidence in your heart that that is God's will for your life? All right. Then you pass that. Number two, mentally visualize and see your desire as though it were already done. You need to do that as you're speaking it and commanding it. See it and imagine it. Personalize it. Don't just pray word for word through there. Personalize it. What's your storehouse? What is your ground? Command it into your valley of dry bones. And then number three, speak commands and affirmations out loud for your desire to manifest. Say them with faith, feeling, and what? God's Word. Have you learned something today? How many of you would purpose for the next 30 days, to the best of your abilities, you remember, you will be faithful to pray the blessings and command those things into your life? Could I see your hands?
Amen.
Amen. Your life is going to change. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the Word that is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I thank You that each one of these people have learned today how to stand as Ezekiel and prophesy into their life the Word of God. Speak and command the Word of God into their lives. We thank You for the power of binding and loosing, that we are the ones who conquer the gates of hell, that we're the ones who knock down the fortresses of hell to set the captives free and to take back from the devil the blessings that belong unto us, that we might rise up and walk in success and victory in our lives. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.